Bob and I get this chance to talk, but both Bob and I, we want to give this time to you, Jesus. I pray you would come and teach Bob and I pray you to come and teach each person in this room. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever read a book or seen a movie where the main character or a character was so strong they kind of carried the whole thing? It's the whole story kind of turned into just getting to spend time with that character. So I read a book like that recently. It was about a carpenter who loved carpentry, and he was so passionate about it, he kind of carried the whole story. Like, he was the most energetic person throughout the whole thing because of the passion that he brought to his work. Here's a quote from that character in this book. It says, 2,000 years ago, there was no separation between someone's work life and their spiritual life. He said that they weren't separated like we do today. He goes on to say, now we separate them and wonder why people are so miserable. So we pull our life apart into all these little grids, all these chunks. Work is meant to be a spiritual experience, not a daily chore or a grind. I've never seen that on a job description. What's this job about? A spiritual experience. I've never seen that. I've heard a lot of people describe their job as a daily chore or a grind, though. This character went on to say, all work is sacred. Everything is spiritual. When you bring your spirit to work, you will become a powerful builder of success. When you bring your spirit to work, you will become a powerful builder of success. A lot of us want success, but here he's saying if you bring your whole heart and soul into what you're working at, then you're going to powerfully build it wherever you're at. So more important than this book, though, is what the Bible tells us. What does the Bible tell us about bringing our spirit to work?
All righty, let's talk about that. Let's look at the scripture, and we're going to go really quick here. Slaves, we're no longer slaves. God has a word for us, and it, you know, we all know about working for somebody else. And even though Jake and I have an enormous amount of freedom, we also work for somebody else. It happens to be you and the Lord, obviously. Lord first and you second. And we all have requirements. So let's read it from the angle of somebody who has to do what somebody tells them to do, which is the vast majority of us, our work day is doing something that somebody else tells us to do. Whether you're working at Bennett Packaging or you're working at Cerner, somebody's telling you what to do, okay? So, slaves, obey your earthly masters and everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor. In other words, do it not just when you have a performance review coming up, doing it not just because the supervisor's looking over your shoulder, do it not because you want to make the church members happy, do it, you know, for a different reason, and that is with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Let's go to the next verse because it explains sincerity of heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, whatever job you have, this is what, by the way, this is God's word. Yesterday we had a fabulous seminar with Joe, and Diane was there to also assist, and you know, this guy consults, if you name a major business in Kansas City, maybe throughout the country, he's been one of their consultants, and he gave us some great advice, okay? Y'all, can you hear this, please? This is not advice from a really good corporate trainer. This that we're reading on the screen is the word of God who loves you and knows all, and he has something to say to you about your work, all right? This is the word of God. This is not optional like you get an after-dinner mint when you're leaving a restaurant, okay? This is what God says to you about life, and God says to you, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. That's not optional. Can we hear that? That is not optional. That is God's word for us. And there's two reasons why he gives that word to us. One of them is he does not want to separate what we do in church with what we do out in the world, okay? Your Christian life is not just hearing a couple of songs and a couple of sermons on a Sunday and going your merry way. Your religious life is to be all the time, and work occupies a lot of it. And we got to work to get that in our head, and Jake's going to give us some ideas about how to do that in a minute. So work at it with all your heart, not as working for the Lord. There are people in here who say, Jesus is my boss. Okay, I won't name their names. But there are people in this building who say, Jesus is my boss. It would be great if all of us could say, Jesus is my boss. I work for him, not for somebody else. So not for humans, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance of the Lord as a reward, excuse me, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So that's the word of God. And Jake's going to give us some ideas on how we can incorporate God's word into our lives so that it really becomes something that really happens and you just don't hear it on a Sunday morning. So why don't you do that,
Jake?
Yeah,
this idea of working with all your heart at something, it sounds nice if you're doing something that you like to do or something you feel good at, but a lot of us get stuck in situations where we don't like the work in front of us or we don't feel particularly good at it or we don't want to be doing it. And so how do you work with all your heart when you're in that spot? So I was in that spot. This was quite a while ago. I was probably 15 or 16 years old. I was a sophomore in high school, and I was in Spanish 2 class. And so I was in a class that I hated. Chris up in the balcony may know about being in a class maybe at some point that he hated. And so I was stuck in this class. I hated it. The reason I hated it was most of my classes I would show up, and I was pretty smart, so I would try a little bit, and I would get an A, you know, and that was kind of how school worked, except for Spanish 2. In Spanish 2, I would try really, really hard, and I would flunk most of the tests I took. I was just bad at it. And she counted off for spelling, and so none of my other teachers did that, obviously. And so she would let us retake tests. So a lot of times, if I studied really hard, I could get about a 50% on the first go-through, and I would study hard again and sometimes pull out like a C if I tried really hard. So it was really frustrating. I was used to not trying very hard and succeeding. And so I was frustrated by it, but I loved Jesus, and I was reading the Bible at the time. I came across this verse in Proverbs, and I actually had a purple folder. This is not an actual picture of it because it's long gone, but I had a purple Spanish 2 folder, and I printed off this verse, in particular that first part of it. All hard work brings a profit. And I felt like, okay, so God is saying if you work hard at anything, even something that I thought, like Spanish, just at the time I thought, Spanish, I'm never going to use Spanish. It's a total waste of time, is what I was thinking. If you know my story, you know that was wrong. But at the time I was thinking, I'm never going to use this. But that verse said, if you work hard at something, it's always going to produce something good. You're always going to benefit. You're always going to profit if you put your whole heart into something. And so even though later I would go and learn Spanish and live in Mexico, I honestly don't think the Spanish I learned as a sophomore was really that important to me. The far more important lesson for me that year was this was the first time in my life it was something intellectual I was doing that I wasn't good at, that I stuck with and worked at and just got to understand what it's like to do something when you're not good at it. What it's like to be the dumbest kid in the class and have everyone else get things quicker than you get it, and how frustrating that is. Like, I got to learn a lot of things that I would need later in life, like some humbleness that I needed and some kind of stick with it that I needed, some grit. And so over the course of that year, by just submitting to, okay, I'm going to try hard at this, even though I don't like Miss LaRosa or I don't like this class or anything else, I'm not just going to complain about it. I'm going to work at it. And so I did get a profit that year. And so whatever situation you're stuck in, maybe if you're in a really bad job, pray about it. Maybe God can help you find something that's better. That would be great. But if you're going to go to that job, then you should go to it with all your heart. Because if you're going with all your heart, you're going to be gaining something out of it, no matter who you're working for, no matter what the task is. So when you hear that, maybe for some of you, your heart kind of sinks. You're like, great, I already have a job I don't like, or I already have work to do tomorrow I don't like, and now you're telling me I have to try even harder at it. And yeah, Mark is like, I can already see it, like the gloom of like, oh, Monday's going to come and it's going to be a dark and dreary day. But if you feel like you've been in that darkness and you want to pull back your life, you want to get to that fresh air, you want to get to that fresh new light, I'm going to tell you guys an awesome strategy that I think this will totally change your life, no matter if you're stuck in a crummy job or not. So we're going to be looking at a lesson that comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. We're going to go through it pretty quick. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, and in case you woke up this morning and you thought, I just wish I knew what God wants me to do. Well, here it is. It says, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. If you wanted a sign from God in black and white, what God wants you to do, then there it is. And we're going to just focus in on that middle verse, but verse 18 is Marilyn Timmons. Marilyn, will you raise your hand for me? She does not want to. That's Marilyn's life verse. So if you want to know more about verse 18, go talk to Marilyn and say, tell me about it, okay? But let's focus on verse 17 for now. Pray continually. It's a verse that gets quoted a lot, pray without ceasing or pray always. Most people who say it, my guess would be, don't probably really understand what does it look like. I know for me, when I hear that, I think, what does it mean to pray all the time? Like, how do you do that? And I don't know if this picture is going to actually work for us or not. It doesn't really work. It's cut off. Sorry about that. But it's this lady sitting at a computer looking super happy with her hands folded. It just looks kind of ridiculous. Like, is that what you're supposed to do all day long? Is just like be like, I'm so happy. You know, I'm so happy to be praying right now. I can't use my keyboard because my hands are stuck like this, but I'm so happy. That's not what praying continually means. But we can actually learn what praying continually means. A strange juxtaposition here, but Donnie Moat has a good story he told in Sunday school about learning something from God, learning something that he needed that actually had to do with washing dishes. And Brother Lawrence, this like random monk from the 1600s in France, also learned something from God when he was washing dishes. So you'll have to talk to Donnie to get his whole story, but we're going to learn a little bit about what Brother Lawrence learned while he was stuck in the kitchen. So monks back then, 1600 years ago, I don't even know like how they got hot water into the kitchen and stuff back then, but he is washing dishes for a whole crowd of guys. It's a bunch of guys that live together with no ladies. If you can imagine, you have to wash all their dishes. I mean, that's Brother Lawrence's job, to wash all these dishes for all these guys. And so he didn't like the job at first, but eventually he gets to say this about it. He says, for me, the time of action, the time of work, does not differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are together calling for as many different things, I possess God in as great of tranquility as when upon my knees. So Brother Lawrence didn't wash dishes with his hands folded, smiling all the time. But what he does say is that because I pray all the time, that I have God's peace, even when it's crazy at my job. And so even if you don't have to wash dishes all day, doesn't that sound pretty attractive that you could have an experience with God that's the same as your best moment on your knees? You could have it when work is crazy. You might be thinking like, well, how does Brother Lawrence get to be that type of person? Well, the guy that introduced me to Brother Lawrence, Evan Wright, some of the youth might remember him. He's moved, and so he switched to a different church. But Evan is the one who introduced me to Brother Lawrence, and this is what he had to say about him as he was sending me some quotes about him. He said, Brother Lawrence just goes to God. Mess up, go to God. Not strong enough, ask God. Happy, anything. He goes to God with it openly and honestly, then he moves forward. So it's this really simple idea that whatever is going on in your life, you have a conversation with God about it.
I jump in real quick?
Yeah, sure.
When Jake shared with me what we were preaching about, he kind of lit my fire. Because Brother Lawrence was a hero of one of my heroes, Frank Laubach. And you all have heard me talk about Frank Laubach, one of the most incredible men who lived in the last century. And what made him incredible is exactly what Jake is talking about. And the way Frank Laubach explained his continual conversation with God is like this. He said, we all think. Our mind is always working. We're always processing information. Laubach learned to turn those kind of thinking into inviting God to be a part of it. And so wherever he went, he trained himself to think his thoughts along with God. Y'all follow me on that? Think your thoughts along with God. Now, here's what Laubach said. He said, this is the hardest thing that I do, but it makes everything else easier. So if you incorporate God into your thinking, into what's going on, and we can do that, then it makes everything else easier. And Laubach didn't just jump from hearing a sermon on a Sunday morning to doing this, okay? It wasn't that easy for him. What he did was he wrote a book on it called The Game with Minutes. And so he started off trying to think about God four times every hour. And so about every 15 minutes, he would just kind of flash a prayer to God. God, I'm open to you. God, I'm available to you. God, what do you think? And then he moved it down to trying to think about God or to connect with God about every minute. And just like Evan's quote, he messed up a lot. He didn't achieve a lot. He had days where it was a failure, but it came to be something that became a part of his life. And just in case you're not familiar with Frank Laubach, the entire nation of India knows how to read because of him. Most of Latin America knows how to read because of Frank Laubach. God gave him as a missionary to the Philippines a passion to teach people to read in the name of Christ. And this communication with God opened the doors literally worldwide for him to bring literacy, but also the gospel of Jesus throughout the world. And so here's my challenge to you, and I'm going to sit down and let Jake wrap this up. My challenge to you is to begin training yourself to turn your thoughts into prayers. And again, you don't have to fold your hands and close your eyes. But just turn your thoughts to God. Let him in on your thoughts. And start off maybe four times an hour. Tomorrow, I'm going to start off four times every hour to try to check in with God. And then maybe try it out, six times and maybe eight times. And then you might go like Laubach did, once every minute, just a second, not long. And so I would encourage you to try that. Let God in on your thinking and your planning and see what he does with you, okay?
So tomorrow morning, every single one of us, God willing, will wake up and we'll probably have some sort of work in front of us, whether we have to clock in somewhere or not. We'll probably have something we have to do. So the real rubber hitting the road for today is these two things we talked about today. Can you remember the two things? This idea of working with all your soul, all your heart at whatever you do work on. And then about talking to Jesus all throughout the day. If you start doing those two things, I bet your Monday tomorrow will be much different than last Monday. If you do it 5 days this week, I bet by Friday, you'll have a very different work week than you had this last week. You get to choose whether this week is different than last week. God gives us days. That's God's side of it. He gives us a day, and he's happy to talk to us if we will talk to him. But you get to choose how you're going to spend those days that get given to you. The worship team is coming up. Now is your chance to decide how to spend those days. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you want to talk to us. I thank you that you're willing to have a conversation with us. Help us this week to take you up on that offer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.